Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the season finale of The Shadow. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago, while in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend, Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. In today's final drama of the season, an evil scientist strives to harness the energy of the sun to produce a deadly weapon. This is Murder in the Sun. In the midst of a towering modern housing development squats an old gray stone mansion surmounted by the dome-shaped laboratory of the so-called Solar Institute. Its ultra-modern telescopes, reflecting mirrors, and other scientific mechanisms are in sharp contrast to the general decay of the old building. In this laboratory, Professor Boris Orloff angrily awaits the arrival of his young assistant, Bob Warner.
Ah. So you decided to come to work at last.
Sorry, Professor. We worked late last night on the calculations of cosmic rays.
And so you stayed out later with my niece, Sonia, tonight.
We only went out for a bite to eat and sat in the park for a little while.
Park? That patch of grass where the riffraff in the rabbit warren across the street sun themselves like lazy animals.
Professor! The people who live there are hard-working human beings, not animals or pigeons like those you've been killing with the solar gun.
My killing of pigeons is in the interest of science.
Yes, but I live over there, so I suppose it would also be in the interest of science to try to kill me as I step out for a breath of fresh air in the morning.
Your death might contribute more scientific knowledge than your half-hearted work with me.
There's a lot more to life than science, Professor Orloff. You've been so wrapped up in your experiments that you seem to have forgotten that.
Very well. Get out now and bring back every note you have ever taken on this solar gun. Then you are through.
I'm not sure, but what I should do is turn those notes over to the police or the FBI.
And what do you mean by that?
I'm not sure who you're perfecting that solar gun for. And I'm going to get Sonia out of here before anything bad happens.
Lamont Cranston speaking.
Hello, Mr. Cranston. You may not remember me, but I'm Robert, Bob Warner. I worked for Professor Mitchell before he was murdered.
Oh yes, Bob. You were very helpful in the investigation.
Thanks. And I'm afraid I need help now. Advice.
I'd be glad to help. What's the trouble?
It's nothing definite, nothing I can put my finger on, but I'm working, or rather, was working with a Dr. Orloff, a physicist and specialist in solar energy.
I think I've heard of him in connection with something called the Solar Institute.
Yes, but it isn't really an institute. Just his private laboratory on top of his home at number 20 River Street. It's right across from here. I live in the new Riverview housing development. I can even see him right now, working on the solar gun.
A solar gun?
Yes, it's an experimental model. I've been assisting him. This morning, we quarreled over a personal matter. He fired me, demanding that I bring him all the notes I've made on the experiment.
Tell me, has Dr. Orloff ever applied for secret work? Been investigated and cleared by security?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I know that this solar gun, if perfected, would be a potentially deadly weapon in the hands of any hostile power.
How far has Orloff progressed?
He's used it at short range to kill small animals and birds.
What's the principle? A heat ray?
Partly the burning power of the sun. But there's something else he hasn't let me see or work on. The result is paralysis, usually followed by death, as in the case of people struck by lightning.
What's the matter, Bob?
He's operating the solar gun now.
What is he doing with it?
Just a minute. I can see better if I step out on my balcony. I have a long extension cord on my phone. Here we are. It's about 200 yards across to Orloff's lab, but... Cranston!
Bob, get back inside!
I can't move! Cranston! Help!
I'm Dr. Hadley, Mr. Cranston. The building superintendent, Max Reber, told me you were on the way, so I waited here, in the lobby.
We're sorry we couldn't get here sooner, Dr. Hadley.
We were held up in traffic. How is Bob Warner?
Your call to Reber may have saved his life, as my office is here in the building.
What is your diagnosis on the sudden collapse?
If I hadn't given him a physical checkup only a month ago, I'd have said it was a heart attack, complicated by almost complete paralysis.
Where is he being taken?
In General Hospital.
Were there any signs of burns?
No, Mr. Cranston. That's what puzzles me.
Why, Doctor?
The symptoms were similar to the extreme shock of a person struck by lightning.
But there was no electrical storm over the city today.
Could he have accidentally come into contact with a high-voltage wire in an apartment or on the balcony?
No. I looked about while waiting for the ambulance, after giving him what first-aid treatment I could.
What are his chances?
It's hard to say in shock cases. It depends on his heart. Did he say anything to you over the phone?
He had a quarrel with his employer. He was excited, and then he gasped and called to help. And then I heard him fall.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to wait for a complete report from the hospital.
Where's the building superintendent?
In the basement, I imagine. He took Warner and the interns down in the freight elevator because of the stretcher.
Thank you, Dr. Hadley. Come on, Margo. Let's find the superintendent. I want to have a look at Bob's apartment while we're waiting for the hospital's report.
I don't know if I should let you into Mr. Warner's apartment, Mr. Cranston, but... seeing as how you're the one that called me to get the doctor for him, I guess maybe it's all right.
It'll be all right, Superintendent. I just want to look around and see if I can find what caused Mr. Warner's sudden collapse.
Lamont, did you notice that the door to the apartment wasn't locked?
Yes.
Oh, I guess it's my fault. After you phoned me, I opened Warner's door with my passkey. Then I set the snap lock so the doc and the interns could get in and out.
I see. How long has the apartment been unlocked, without you being here?
Only a few minutes. I took the doc and the body, I mean Mr. Warner, down to the service elevator to the ambulance. Why?
Is the apartment the way you found it?
I didn't notice the apartment. I saw Mr. Warner laying in the doorway to the balcony. I grabbed the phone and called Dr. Hadley downstairs.
Was the phone off the cradle?
Yes, but there was no one on the line.
I was talking to him when it happened. I hung up.
Lamont, didn't you tell me Bob was out on...
Margo, stay off the balcony.
It's plenty safe, Mr. Cranston. Everybody uses them.
Warner used his once too often.
Wait a minute, Mr. Cranston. I don't know as I ought to let you look through Mr. Warner's things.
This desk drawer is empty. So is this filing drawer. Cleaned out.
But didn't Bob Warner tell you he had a lot of notes?
He works over at the Solar Institute across the street. Maybe he keeps the notes there.
Do you know his employer, Professor Orloff?
I've seen him.
Has he been here since Warner collapsed?
Not that I know of.
He could have come up in the automatic elevator while you were taking Bob Warner down to the ambulance in the freight elevator.
Sure. But what would this Professor Orloff be doing coming here and taking Mr. Warner's notes and papers with him not being here?
He may have arranged it. Margo, call General Hospital Emergency. Get Dr. Hollister. But keep away from the door to the balcony.
All right, Lamont. The ambulance should be at the hospital by now.
Look here, Mr. Cranston. You're acting like Mr. Warner didn't just have a stroke that paralyzed him.
General Hospital? Dr. Hollister, please. Emergency. Lamont Cranston calling.
Are you trying to blame me?
Just a minute.
Dr. Hollister, just a minute. Here you are, Lamont.
Thanks, Margo. Hello, Hollister? Lamont Cranston, you have an emergency case. Robert Warner. How is he? I see. I know you'll do your best to save him. If he dies, it could be murder.
We'll return to the shadow in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, between now and Election Day, give a lot of thought to the person you're going to vote for. Too many of us take for granted our right to vote. Either we don't vote at all, or maybe we vote without giving much thought to the person we put in power. And it's wrong. It's all wrong. For we should be concerned as to whether we end up naked or clothed, fed or starved, deceived or trusted, protected or destroyed. Remember, our right to vote is one of our freedoms. It's up to you and to me. Up to all of us to guard it carefully, for freedom is everybody's job. So be sure to vote and think well about the issue you're voting on. And now, back to the shadow.
In answer to the frantic appeal of Bob Warner, a young physicist mysteriously stricken while phoning Lamont Cranston for advice and help, Cranston and Margot Lane call on Bob's recent employer, Professor Orloff, after discovering that Bob's scientific notes are missing and that Bob is hovering between life and death in General Hospital.
Lamont, what could Bob Warner's condition have to do with a solar gun?
I think Bob was about to explain that over the phone when he was tricked. And I expect Orloff to finish the explanation.
Be careful Orloff doesn't give you a demonstration. Well, will you look at the old-fashioned door knocker on this so-called Solar Institute?
It's an old building. Apparently only the lab on the roof is modernized. But it doesn't matter, as long as the brass ring gets us in.
It brought somebody.
Yes, whom do you wish to see?
Professor Orloff.
I'm sorry, but my uncle never sees anyone without an appointment.
Tell him Lamont Cranston and Miss Lane, friends of Bob Warner, wishes to see him. Immediately.
Friends of Bob? Where is he?
How well do you know Bob Warner?
We're engaged. We're going to be married as soon as we can get my uncle's consent.
When did you become engaged?
Last night. We decided to... Oh, but why are you asking these questions? Has something happened to Bob?
He's been hurt.
How? How badly? Where is he?
He's in the General Hospital, in a coma, as a result of some kind of violent shock.
When did it happen? Where?
About an hour ago in his apartment across the street.
I must go to him.
Just a minute, Miss Orloff. It'll be some time before it is known just how serious Bob's condition is. And that's why I must talk to your uncle now.
He never sees anyone during working hours. He locks himself in the laboratory on the roof, and there's no phone up there.
Then allow me to go up and knock on his door.
Why do you want to see him?
Do you know that your uncle discharged Bob Warner this morning?
No!
Where were you when Bob came to work this morning?
Out shopping. I keep house for my uncle. Make his meals. He won't go out of the house.
Did he leave this house within the last hour?
He never does if he can help it.
How long have you been back from your shopping?
Just a few minutes.
So you can't say for sure that your uncle didn't leave the house and go to Bob's apartment?
No, but why would he?
Bob phoned me. Mentioned that your uncle fired him and wanted all Bob's lab notes on the sword.
I don't understand. Please, I must go to Bob. Be with him, even if I can't talk to him.
Sonia!
Uncle!
Who are these people?
Mr. Cranston and Miss Lane, friends of Bob.
What do they want?
I'd like to ask you a few questions, Professor Orloff.
Tell them to get out. I receive no visitors.
Would you rather talk to the police?
The police?
Yes. I thought that'd bring you out of your scientific Valhalla to acknowledge our presence.
Ask your questions.
Why did you discharge Bob Warner this morning?
It is a personal matter.
But Uncle Boris, something has happened to Bob. He is in a hospital.
Go prepare my lunch, Sonia. Bring it to the lab. I will get rid of these people.
No, I'm going to the hospital.
Leave this house and you will not come back.
I don't care. I'm going to marry Bob.
You will never marry him.
How can you be so sure of that, Professor Orloff?
Get out of my house, Mr. Cranston.
So you'd rather talk to the police?
What have the police to do with this matter?
Bob Warner was stricken while watching you operate your solar gun from the balcony of his apartment across the street.
And how do you know that to be fact?
I was talking to him on the telephone when the time had happened.
What was he telling you?
That you had discharged him and demanded he returned all his notes on the solar gun.
That is my right. The solar gun is my invention.
Did you return those notes?
No.
Then why aren't you interested in getting them back?
I will get them when Warner recovers.
From what?
From whatever is the matter with him.
You'll not get the notes unless you already have them.
Why not?
They're not in his desk or anywhere in his apartment.
Then he destroyed them.
You don't seem too concerned about it.
I am not. As long as they are not available to others.
Professor Orloff, why haven't you worked in any of the nuclear laboratories in this country?
Because I did not choose to do so. I prefer to work alone, not with others. Now, I have much work to do, and I demand that you leave this house.
All right, Professor. Come along, Margot.
Wait, please. Wait till I get my things. I'm going with you.
Then you will not come back.
I don't want to come back. Ever.
Don't ever come back.
Don't get too involved in your experiments with the solar gun, Professor Orloff.
Get out, all of you. I'm locking this door.
Very well, Orloff. But if Bob Warner dies, search warrant will open it. Or the police will break it down. Get in, Margot, and drive Miss Orloff to the General Hospital and phone me there on the latest word on Bob Warner's condition.
Where should I phone you, Lamont?
At Bob's apartment. I'll be there.
But we searched it thoroughly. The notes are gone.
Yes, but it affords a good view of Orloff's lab, and I want to keep an eye on him.
Be careful he doesn't put the solar eye on you.
I'll try to avoid that. Get going, Margot. Call me if there's any changes in Bob's condition, for better or worse.
Hello?
Professor Orloff?
Yes?
This is Max Reber, the superintendent of the building across the street from your place.
What do you want?
I did you a favor once. I got an apartment for your assistant, Mr. Warner. Remember?
You were well paid for it, Reber.
Yes. So I thought you might want another favor done.
Such as what?
There's a fellow named Cranston been around asking questions about what happened to Mr. Warner this morning.
I know that.
But do you know I saw you sneaking out of Mr. Warner's apartment after I helped his doctor and the interns get him down to the ambulance?
Did you tell that to Cranston?
Not yet, because I'm not one to make trouble for anybody. But Mr. Cranston says what happened to Warner might be murder. And I wouldn't want to get into any trouble with the police for withholding any important information. So...
I see. Could you come over to the Institute?
What for?
We can talk it over.
I know you got the notes. I saw you sneak out with the briefcase Mr. Warner always carried.
I'll explain about those notes.
I'm not much interested in explanations, Professor Orloff.
But you're interested in doing me another favor?
Yeah, I might be. But excuse me. Somebody wants me in the lobby. It might be that Cranston fellow.
If it is, tell him nothing about my getting the notes. Come over as quickly as you can. Come up to my laboratory. I'll leave this street door unlocked.
Okay, Professor. I'll be over as soon as I can make it.
I still don't know as I'd be letting you into Mr. Warner's apartment again, Mr. Cranston.
I'm expecting a call from the hospital about Warner. You can stay here and see that I don't touch anything, if you like.
It ain't that, Mr. Cranston. But you said if Mr. Warner died, it might be murder. And that'd mean the police would want to know why I let anybody in here.
Look, would you go down to Dr. Hadley's office and ask him to come up here for a few minutes, if he can?
You won't touch anything?
Nothing but the phone when Miss Lane calls from the hospital.
All right, okay. I'll ask the doctor to come right up. Maybe that's the call you're expecting.
I'll answer it. You get Dr. Hadley.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Lamont?
Yes, Margot?
Bob Warner is still unconscious, but his pulse and respiration have improved.
What did they make of it?
They're really puzzled. He had a very high temperature when he was brought into emergency. Almost 105. Like a heat stroke. Only there are no external burns.
The body can be heated by various rays, Margot.
I guess there's nothing to do but wait.
How's Miss Olaf taken it?
Pretty hard. She's really in love with the guy. And
wait a minute, Margot.
What is it, Lamont?
I've been standing here by the window watching Olaf's place, and it seems to be having a visitor.
Sonia says he never sees anyone during the day, especially bright sunny days when he can work on the solar gun.
He's up there in the lab, working on it now. And his visitor is going through the street door without knocking.
But Orloff locked the door when we left.
It isn't locked now, or else the man had a key. He's gone inside.
Any idea who it might be?
Very definite idea, Margot. The superintendent of this building.
But he said he didn't know Professor Orloff.
He lied. Call Commissioner Weston and ask him to meet me at the Institute.
Meanwhile,
I think the Shadow should join that conference.
The door may be locked again.
There's a fire escape on the side of the building. It won't be the first time the Shadow had to climb one to reach a killer.
Following up an appeal for help from Bob Warner, a stricken young scientist, Lamont Cranston has learned that the superintendent of the building where Warner lives is paying an unexpected call on Bob's former employer, a physicist known as Professor Orloff. As the Shadow, Cranston intends to be present at the fateful conference.
Come into the lab, Reber.
Say, this is quite a place you have up here on top of the building.
What kept you so long?
It was that fellow Cranston coming back to have another look at Warner's apartment.
Did he say what he expected to find?
No. He was expecting a phone call from the hospital where they took Warner.
Does he know you've come over to see me?
No. He sent me downstairs to get the house doc that looked after Warner before they took him to the hospital.
Does anyone know you've come here?
Not unless someone saw me come through the front door. Why?
No one must know we are acquainted.
Look here, Professor. If you didn't have anything to do with what happened to Warner, and the notes you took out of his apartment are yours, what are you in such a lather about?
It's a matter of secrecy. Security.
Whose security?
The plans and principles of my solar gun are top secret. and could be one of the most important discoveries in the world.
So what's it worth for me to keep quiet about you getting the notes out of Warner's apartment?
One moment. Before we go into that matter, I want to show you something. I would like to show you the secret weapon I am guarding closely.
I ain't interested in things like that, Professor. I wouldn't understand anything about it if you told me.
Oh, I wouldn't try to explain the principle of the solar gun to you, Reber. I will show you how it works. First, I open the dome in the ceiling to catch the direct rays of the sun on the reflecting mirror.
Look, Professor, I gotta get back to the apartment. I don't care what you do with that gadget.
But in a moment, you will not care at all about anything.
Hey! Wait!
Least of all, about the money you hoped I would pay to be silent.
Don't, Professor! Stop! Turn it off!
A very convincing demonstration, Professor Orloff.
Who spoke? Who laughed?
The Shadow, Professor. And don't bother to look around your laboratory. No man sees the Shadow, although I am right here in the room with you.
It is not possible.
A much older science than yours to make it possible to cloud your mind so that you cannot see me in the brightest beams of light from that murderous solar gun of yours.
I don't have to see you to destroy you with my gun.
The sun is the source and energy of all the life on this earth, Professor Orloff. Did you invent and perfect that instrument only as a weapon to destroy that life?
No! Long ago, I proposed research into harnessing the limitless power and energy of the sun's rays. But my idea was laughed at. My services rejected.
Who financed the Solar Institute of yours?
I alone. And no one will ever share or learn the secret of my solar gun.
And you have stricken two men with its deadly rays to keep that secret?
Yes. I will destroy you, Shadow. No matter where you stand in this room, the light ray will find you, paralyze your body, your mind. You will not be able to move or even cry out for help.
Bob Warner cried out in time, and real men of science are trying to save his life, which you're trying to destroy.
He was going to steal my secret, betray me.
No, he only feared you meant to betray your country.
This is not my country. I have no country. I owe allegiance to no man or nation.
Then you are for sale to the highest bidder?
No, but I will be honored, remembered along with all the great men. There, Shadow! I have swept the room with my ray, and it has found you. Silenced your mocking voice forever.
Try again, Professor. Hurry. Look up in the sky. The clouds are gathering. They will blot out the sun, and your perverted power to destroy will be gone.
You lie, Shadow. The sky is cloudless. The sun... Let go of me, Shadow!
Yes, Orloff. I lied about the sun, but the clouds of retribution are closing in on you.
The police... They'll never take me. Or my solar gun. I'll destroy it!
No, Professor. You've done enough at destroying for one lifetime. And if your second victim dies, you will be remembered as a murderer.
Lamont! What happened? Where's the Professor? And Commissioner Weston.
The professor is on his way to headquarters with Weston. The superintendent of Warner's building is en route to General Hospital. How is Bob?
He's regained consciousness and doesn't seem to be suffering any ill effects from the blast of the solar gun.
Oh, good. Then there's hope for that greedy superintendent, although he got his blast at a much closer range.
How does the solar gun work, Lamont?
I think it generates a beam of superheated air that acts as a conductor of an electrical charge, similar to a bolt of lightning. Which stuns but does not kill the victim.
Then it isn't really the deadly weapon we supposed.
It could be, with its range and power were developed. If Orloff in custody, I hope Bob Warner will carry out the research for peaceful purposes.
Was Orloff planning to turn the solar gun over to some foreign power?
No. I think he planned to perfect it and use it against any and all who scorned his ideas and rejected his genius.
Ugh. What a waste of a brilliant mind.
And what a waste of a sunny day. Let's make good use of it and go for a nice quiet drive in the country.
Before we finish this episode, here is the creator of the recreation series himself, who'd like to say a few words. Mr. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mr. Robert. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to personally thank all the amazing voice actors and actresses over the months who helped me make this dream of mine come true. I would also like to thank you, the viewers, on listening to each episode. Although we are not famous on YouTube, it still makes me happy to see a few people appreciating the hard work that comes out of this. Thank you, everyone. We will begin our third season in June of 2018. Until then...
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit.
For crime does not pay.
The Shadow knows.